You are listening to Live from City Lights, a podcast of readings and archival audio from City Lights booksellers and publishers. To learn more about us, visit citylights.com.
Hello, everyone online. Welcome to City Lights. I'm Peter Maravellis, your host. Before we begin, just want to remind everyone, we are beaming to you from the unceded ancestral homelands of the Ohlone people. Just want to take a moment to pay respects to those who came before us as stewards of the land. Always a thrill to be hosting a City Lights book. And tonight, not only that, it's spotlight number 23. We are delighted to have Roberto Harrison with us and celebrating this lovely, lovely new collection. I am now going to turn it over to Garrett Caples, who is the poetry editor here at City Lights, to get the evening started. Garrett, welcome.
Thank you. So, this is lovely. This is our second sort of real post-pandemic spotlight reading. So it's nice to have the old vibe back, because we used to like to have like one of the previous people in the series open the reading, and then the person whose book is being launched read. So tonight we are celebrating the publication of Ismith to Abya Yala, which by Roberto Harrison. This is a book that it's very exciting to have been able to publish, and we have two readers. Roberto will headline, but our opening reader tonight is our good friend Julien Poirier, the author of this book, Out of Print, which is the, you know, it's my favorite title of any book that I've published. Julien Poirier's book is Out of Print. Julien Poirier teaches poetry in the San Francisco public schools and at San Quentin State Prison. His book Out of Print was published by City Lights in 2016. He's also the author of El Guape Chilano, Stained Glass Windows of California, and Way Too West, among other volumes. With me, he edited Incidents of Travel in Poetry, New and Selected Poems by Frank Lima, for City Lights as well. He's also a co-founder of Ugly Duckling Press Collective, where he edited a poetry newspaper, New York Nights, and an anthology of writings by Jack Micheline, as well as a book of travel journals by Bill Barkson, among other things he edited. And he is currently the mastermind behind the mail art publication Night Mail. And if you're curious about Night Mail, I encourage you to talk to Julien, because it's a wonderful thing to get in your mailbox whenever it strikes his fancy, which is often. So please join me in welcoming Julien Poirier.
Thank you. Thanks for coming, everyone. Hi. I'm really excited to be reading with Roberto and meeting Roberto tonight. It's very nice. I wanted to tell you guys a story. I have an 11-year-old daughter, 16-year-old daughter too. My 11-year-old daughter is a rock climber, and she's really into rock climbing. So we were in this big rock climbing gym in West Oakland called Pacific Pipe, which is an old pipe factory. And she's on spring break. This was a couple of days ago. She's on spring break and I'm working. I have a job where I publish and do printing for these different, like San Francisco Symphony, different theater organizations in the Bay Area. So I brought my computer. I was sitting there and I was going through this super complicated job. I was getting really frustrated and I was like, looking at my computer and reading all this small print, or touched my face. And my daughter's name is Cora. And she said, "Dad," she was sitting there, she said, "Dad." And I looked at her and she said, "It's not real." Just looked at her like, "Do you know something? Do you?" Yeah. It's, you know. I'm going to start out by reading this poem. I intentionally didn't look at this. I wrote it like a week ago. I thought it was pretty good. And I'm not sure. So I'm going to read it. And let's see. You guys can tell me what you think. I'm hopefully I can find my way through it here. Good God. It's called Hobbies. Eating Starburst and Reading Old English. Listening to Like a Virgin in Trader Joe's. Stopping right-wing senators on the street and going, your ass is like two volleyballs. Applying lipstick to my lips at the switchboard, then climbing the wall of a Danish castle. Blowing on the fire of the brain in a clover patch, like Yul Brynner at his peak. Secret swimming hole going violet at dusk. Ornette Coleman coming from the earth. What do you guys think? It's all right? All right. Thank you. It's not bad. I think it's actually okay. So I'm going to read from my City Lights book mostly, but I'm going to read a couple of new poems first. This one is this one's called DBA, Doing Business As. Sometimes it makes sense to sit quietly and think about what an idiot you've been. Focus exclusively on your failures, the bullshit you've put people through, the semi-conscious pomposity, the false humility. Whenever the sound of your noble voice comes to the rescue, reject it as you would Satan. Think only of the pain you've caused others. And before you make excuses or claim you've been paid back in full, see if you can catch yourself doing business under a different name. All right, this one's called, it's called Almost Billy. Was it when the president wouldn't stop his thugs from beating those kids to death in the TV room behind the bodega? Just stood there tall in his Saturday night shark skin suit and tie, watching Oprah. Was it then you lost your infant joy? Was it when you realized the landlord was a puppet? Or when mom died and dad was too sick to know? It all went down in 5 months. And when it was over, it felt like someone had followed you home, tied you down, and cut those 5 months out of your mouth. You were born to love. You still love being here. Don't pretend you don't. So I'm very proud of this book that Garrett edited in 2016. And any chance to celebrate it is great. I'm going to read a few poems from this before Roberto comes up. This one's called called Showdown with Death. Who's ready for a showdown with death? Who's wiretapping the silent majority? Who's ready to start the war on death? Who's ready to tell the men from the boys? Who's ready to tear the baby from the womb? Who's going to hit death from the air? Who's going to hit death from the sea? Who's going to hide money under death's pillow? Who's going to breastfeed death? Who's going to give death a cigarette? Who's going to bug him till he quits? Who will mother death? Who will father death? Who will smother death? Who will kill death with a kiss? Who will give death everything he ever wanted? Who will kidnap death? Who will abandon death in a huge city and see what happens? Who's ready for a showdown with death? Who's ready to stand face to face, mingle breath? Who's ready to mime death? Who's ready to call him a has-been, boss man, orangutan fucker? Who's going to pay for the comeback? Who's going to put death in the hole? Who's going to whip him with car antenna, tase death? Who's going to follow death to the ends of the earth? Who's going to send Death the top joint of his pinky in a box of chocolates? Who's going to drive Death to the border? Who's going to kick down Death's door? Who's going to breathe heavy into his phone? Who will pinch his nose when he snores? Who will watch him as he sleeps and remember how he used to be? Who will hide the knives? Who will ice the cake? I wanted to read some poems from this that I just haven't read out loud before. This one's called Orchestre de Paris. They put the Orchestre de Paris up in neon, a pretty violet neon reflecting the perfect goatee, a limousine on a black shoe, a romantic pirate. As a woman, I would blow this pirate in the tropical sand as a man too, his being a scheme of beard and scimitar scar. But the most thrilling arrangements turn boring. Life must remain diverse. The fortune you make is there to lose. One night at the opera in coral tiara, by morning, rags with a shopping bag. Like that famous beauty who stood by her man long after he was bones and ran his fallow coal mine single-handed, and then returned to Kansas City with broken eyes and looks violently rubbed out to be shunned by top society, sneered at, standing on nothing but her love for a man so long dead, he had become a child in her mind. I would like and expect to lose like she did, once so beautiful. I hope I have the courage to stand with the lost, the broken, and the mad. Put out the eyes of your parakeets. This one's called Move On. One night I was trying to think of something nice to write about, and I thought of you and how you'd stolen my heart. And though you put it right back, way back when, how it's still missing a beat out of each minute. I thought of how happy I was being near you, how I once put my head on your lap and you stroked my hair with your fingertips. It might be disgusting, but I didn't really care about sleeping with you. I wouldn't say no. I mean, my fuzziness was the whole problem, wasn't it? Why wasn't I more insistent? If we died 5 million years ago on a bed of hot ash, archaeologists would conclude women were bigger than men back then. And just as long as our broken leg bones crossed, I wouldn't mind. True story. I'm just going to read one more. It's called Real Life Adventure. About a group of poets and artists living close together as the world goes crazy and they go crazy with each other, getting into fights and driving each other crazy, but maintaining a precise order that keeps switching but is always precise. I am one of them. My poems are incredible. I write all the time when I'm not doing more important things. It's the most important thing I do after being all there for my kids, maybe making a little more money than last month, sleeping with my wife and eating with her and walking in the hills with her, getting drunk from time to time and writing these incredible poems, sober and dizzy free. And the group ends up changing the whole story of art and poetry and inspiring other groups and young kids. A great, vibrant striving, an absurdity, a tender absurdity held in place in the art and the poems. A silly, pointless urging in a world without a place to go, and all of us jamming and spinning off each other in the city and up on the farm, growing our own food, twisting our own pretzels, and printing our own things and rushing it out to the thriving rival scenes while war and chaos and greed tear the world apart and everyone is going crazy one way or the other. Restoring the sweet ambling adventure to the whole span, the whole needless disaster flipped on a whim of bright bread broken. And one night I'm reading Blake in bed in the big nursery, and everyone's asleep except someone in the greenhouse. And I can hear low voices from the press room too. And I've got a lamp on my page, songs of innocence, songs of experience. And there are stairs at my head going up and more at my feet going down to the new moon in the glass V with the three tall trees above the highway and the ocean. Is that overdoing it? And I get it. Reading Blake, lying there in a kid's box bed, since there's guests tonight, guests and guests, that I'm just one small person in this big group, one poet about to write a poem that may or may not be so incredible, one more mouth to feed, one chewing, nattering mouth, a really famous happy poet who people love to hear read, who takes the train to the city and people buy me drinks and laugh and laugh and hug me among heralds at the barricades. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Julian. So tonight we are here to celebrate Isbitha Abyayala. And this is a book Roberto has written in part of a series that has the overarching title Tropical Lung. And this is the third installment published of this project. And just as a footnote for everyone, Abyayala, which translates as land of life or land of vital blood, it's a pre-Columbian term of the Guna people of Panama and Colombia that they used to refer to the American continent, and more recently signifies the idea of a decolonized new world among various indigenous movements. And, I want to say I have known Roberto for about a dozen years or so, and he has, he sent me a great manuscript years ago, and he usually works big, and as you can see, we kind of work small in the Spotlight series. So I just sort of said, when you can get me something that I can put into this format, I am 100% willing to do it. And it came in at the right time. And so it is the latest volume of the series, number 23. It took about a dozen years, but it finally came through, where he sent me a manuscript that was just perfect size, perfect shape for the Spotlight series. And, it's thrilling when it happens, because it can take, our output is only so big, so it can take years before everything comes together. And but things eventually do come together. And he's in tonight from Milwaukee, which I also want to just let people know. There's a place in Milwaukee called Woodland Pattern that Roberto is very involved in, and they're actually flying me and three other City Lights poets out there for a sort of City Lights on the prairie next weekend. And it's just a great scene out there, and so I just want to give a shout out to Woodland Pattern. And if you're ever in the Milwaukee area, you need to check that place out. So Roberto Harrison's poetry books include Tropical Lung, Exits Exist, Tropical Lung, Mythologia, Panmenia, Yaviza, Bridge of the World, Culabra, Bicycle, Counter Demons, Os, and many chapbooks. With Andrew Levy, he edited the poetry journal Crayon from 1997 to 2008. He was also the editor of Bronze Skull Press, which published over 20 chapbooks, including the work of many Midwestern poets. More recently, Harrison served as co-editor for Resist Much, Obey Little, inaugural poems to the resistance, an anthology. He was the Milwaukee Poet Laureate from 2017 to 2019. He's also a visual artist. He lives in Milwaukee with his wife, poet Brenda Cardenas. So please join me in welcoming straight from Milwaukee, Roberto Harris.
Thank you, everybody. I'm really happy to be here. City Lights is, you know, it's just amazing to be here. I just had a big talk with everybody here, and it was beautiful. I shared myself as completely as I could for like an hour. And I have all these notes, and I was going to try to say a few things before I read, and I'm not very good at talking between things and stuff. So I try to sort of summarize what I have in my notes, because I can't really read them anymore anyway. But City Lights, you know, San Francisco is a city that I wanted to move to. I love Milwaukee now. I have a really nice life there with Brenda. And, you know, the books that came out of here changed everything for me. As a person studying math and computer science, everything changed for me when I was reading. I was turned on to books by friends in graduate school, and like Henry Miller and the Beats and people like that. And so, you know, I tried to move here actually in the 80s. I traveled. I wanted to say that I traveled around for a year. I had a great adventure because of these books that I was reading, that a lot of them came from places like City Lights. A lot of them talked about San Francisco, the great things that happened here. And so I had a big adventure. I traveled around the world. I drove 15,000 miles in my Plymouth Duster. I made a lemon skate around the country with Bloomington, Indiana as a center, and had all kinds of adventures. I went to France, Paris and Aro. I went to Saint-Marie de la Mer, and I was there during the Festival of the Black Virgin when gypsies were there, and listened to all kinds of great music. And I got a knife in my travels. I traveled in an ancient way. You know, I didn't have much money. I sat in my car in my tent most of the time. And I got this beautiful knife in France. I'm not a violent person, but it was nice to have a knife. And, I ended up hitchhiking the whole coast of Spain, you know, due to these books that I was reading. I was trying to change my life. I was trying to be a writer. This is like when I dropped out of grad school in mathematics. And, I ended up like, I hitchhiked the whole coast of Spain, and I made it to Morocco, the Atlas Mountains of Morocco. And I had all kinds of adventures, all kinds of beautiful things happen. And I had this knife. And so I went back, and I tried to go back to school. I was going to study math and try to be a writer at the same time, but I had my first psychotic phase. And so things fell apart. And so I had to redo my life in many ways, mostly through writing and drawing. And in the process of becoming a poet and an artist, or doing the work that I felt I need to do in that direction, I, at one point in the 80s and later 80s, I tried to move here to San Francisco. And at first it was great. I was making muffins in a coffee shop for a little while. And I got a job as a house painter. I was painting all these beautiful Victorian houses. I was telling everybody earlier that at one point I had a boss who had fallen, and he had broken his neck, and he had this big like metal apparatus around his head because he didn't want it to fall off. And I was painting the side of a Victorian house on a scaffolding a few floors up, and there's my boss with his apparatus around his head, and he's telling me, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. It's like, no, you know. And so I was in, I was in San Francisco for a year and a half, and I ended up in mental hospitals and halfway houses for a year of it. But at a certain point, I found myself over here, I think on North Beach, I guess, at the pier, and I had my knife. And I dropped it into the San Francisco Bay. And my idea at that moment was that I wanted to make a pearl of my life. And it was almost like they do Google Maps now. It's like dropping a pin. But this is back in like 1988. And so that's why I'm here, you know. I'm trying to make a pro in my life, you know. So. And so I don't really talk that much between poems, but you know, I have this whole intro in here that talks about other things. But I'm just going to stick to the poems. The first and last bird flies asleep. I must grow the night in the swift flying and sleep. As a dragonfly swarm makes a book of the arc and the loon with blood in the sun, a woven destruction sees that the force is there to mark the sand with the daylight by stars for the hunt in the mud as they grow in the forest, in the body, as light moves the grid out of the center, as the horses escape, in the wood and the axe, through the agency of the trees, a rocket alert to the earth, in a fossil, burns off the air in a lasso, for the interface of the jungle, for the eclipse of the rain, at the entrance, a double return, and the way that the arrows cut through to the palms, for the center, to find the sweet silt of the yellow star entrance, for death, to bind the moonlight to the still river. I speak the colors of the ant streams in passing, my symbols metal, a move for the knife, for the last number of fish, for the force of the feather of blackness, and the starlight to pull back the straw from the unseen axial border, connecting catastrophe home by search with the mutilations, a flood, cockroach acephaly. Delete Mount Rushmore. The color of blood and the color of night fail to be shadows. As a rope pulls its own family detriment on the underside of the face, as a remainder pushes to a nuclear shirt, as some background exception places the red mark under the jungle process to redo the body and feel out the fast calculation of an ulterior mind, where the most correct description does its fashion under the coat and deceives what? The momentary escape from murder, the small conversation show that the country makes as it falls, when the season and its hostile number relieve what a grown bankrupt of the execution that does not allow the face-to-face wheel that takes away the underlying force and the ocean swelling to betray the declaration and its precepts circling accumulation and sorrow, without one to release and to become the memory of its relation outside of the haunt of the business cycle of terror, or the mud climbing return to the home of the sea, as its language is placed outside on the many growths of the front to equate the weapons and the salt. But then the eatery comes on to resent and to happen as a connection to wind and terror again with mud on my hands. Where is the blood? What the four returns to the approaching eastern side of the soft resemblance as some sentimental pit allows the exec to kill her again and to run without memory as a tree and its resin do not count. Also, the arrangement and the sound of nothing do to belong and cross out the meaning of books and to resemble another voter that is cut and weaponized beyond the number of surprise. And the about of the wicked was to move under as confusion was not mine, but shared and trouble like the force of a wheel and its return to the ground. You know, I've had a lot of experience with psychosis, but I was never hateful and never wanted to kill anybody. And the world is a lot crazier now than I ever was. I was conceived in Guatemala. That's the name of this poem. Birth has no name for the earth. And after the rain, there is silence to let all the animals go as a wreck. When patterns delay the allure of the islands and backward relational words make the sun, the calling of words makes a book of the body, a memory garden for lakes at the bottom of being. And after the night, when the service that calls out the faithful with problems to read in the morning. A force comes undone to belong. Seeds are the scatter of losing, and ground has the best for the song that will start by every intention. A husk in the feather remains without season to toss out the metal incisions and sing. Every night when the prison will not be the long one, and twice by the many receive with a bite, with something to carve out the memory stalled by the running for sleep. It is one like a bear. If any were there in a boat under lines, for the vent of the blood related to fractions, and sung by the web with forgetful deceits, they receive. We know that the forces in animals ring with the reading for sight by archaic delivery lines. And if any were there to undo what the knotted up stain by the gate would undo, with a fashion that makes what a baby will end and receives underground, it will move, it will see. But anyone less or anyone more is the answer. And anything placed under 12 will fold up and repeat for the sea. And you know, my manic phases aren't like spiritual experiences that can be very destructive, but also the most beautiful. And I feel that, you know, they're not Christian, they're not Buddhist, but I feel that in some ways the universes are trying to communicate with me through the earth, and the earth is trying to communicate with me through the universes. And this poem is called Scented Mobilian Jargon via Isthmuses. I talk about Mobilian Jargon in the intro to my book. And this is the signature I have for my cell phone emails. So every time I send an email for my cell phone, I feel like I'm doing something, you know, I'm making everything in Isthmus for one. And so, you know, hosts in the sky make paths to the carriers. They fold to return to the oceans and dust by the face. I remember to walk and reveal every story and wind under night. Packets of light and the sounds of the shells keep up as the one of a presence will stare through the window of two every day. That was our training for now with the screens. And that was a broken outside that has grown in the sea, marked for a country of signs. Each song does not stop at the cut for the race, and each does not know its own neck. They yell out for salvation and move to belong to the corn. But the wind is the same as the river through seasons read close by return. Whenever the segments of life now entomb are thick webs for the answer, as they find one to touch and be soft for the war, our beacons call ice to remain in the underground oceans to find us a way to endure. Each pulse will not remember the time of the shadow. Each limb calls itself from the heart of the other to claim an intention for dust and the sea. But carob explosions reveal what the night has to offer survivors as each of its sparks start a fire to begin without knees. Even a starlight will never remember our answers to the singular mouth of beginning. Even as wars become lost, the trees and their talk underground makes us bleed. Our beliefs are not finished from starting and falling anew, for the documents show that there was a balance to books, but that law had removed this from us in the color of twilight, bled like the animals gone. Every night I become like the ceiling of exits and call us the grandmother's song. We sink then to freeze like each catalog marked with an entry of ancient intention and surface for standing to make with the door for the entry of love. All my relations are gone and become like the spirit of crazy horse pierced through my side. I was a they as a tech made to wander, Mobilla, and I was a zero to see at the one of return to the night. Mobilla just wanders and coats every wound with attachment and silence as mounds remain witness to song and survivance. But the world stays the same for the blind, and Mobilla has moved to the isthmus inside, as we're mobile and wandering go for the Mongol invaders, and as the empires will rise and collapse for Tecumseh, made dust for the Caribs, to raids on the sea. So I talk about my drawings as text, and I talk about what that means in other places. And so partly what I'm doing is I'm trying to refer to my writing and my drawing in one shot. So as my wife would say, you know, kill two birds with a stone, right? A letter arrives as an insignia, though without a host of paper connections. As the heat stays undone to speak to the other night and become animal-like trees, making the cut to perceive. Underground, the impossible answers revolve and display like a city under an abandoned town that burns and smiles through violation. Without bodies, we lose our service parameters for the harm of the table, for super-fast connections, and dreams struggling to see morning outside the outside. They cannot speak either, and they cannot see it inside the fire easily to explain the loss of the liver light, an offering of archaic entanglement. But they tie up and they plant a body, a body, a body. Nobody now, world without hand, on a line of protest, even outside of the West, because nothing is put there to run in the knot. But the books come back in harvest return, each hyper-rational star for a bloat of conjugations, for becoming close. Cacti bring my face to you, because the jungle is occupied and no longer available to the midnight refuge, as something as someone believes. They never knew either, because the letter and the symbol heart do not correspond in this way, in the way that makes chemical relation possible, and now in the distant past. But the laughs are together, and the weeping is perfectly spherical, if only because of the hints from our interior proofs of reversed topologies. We went the wrong way, though. Return hoops exist, and they patch in an outlook on life, if only an absence lets us go there, like red and black answers for the pus of Sandhill Crane dreams. They smile again with the kites, with red on top to believe in the end of coercion. And life becomes so pleasant in the afterimage of sudden explosion, explosions, and death for nothing like a book in the alleyways hidden from the rabbits. It's murder. The black and white one has the answer in his right front paw and jumps around without us. Every day it escapes the bit. What is this a standing eclipse for? That the beacon of the in-between was not right, that something needed to be said about the writing practice of beginning. Oceans see oceans, night and light and red. It carves itself a mountain after straw disguise, and because of danger, with exactly the right weather in the summer, inside a snowflake of the collapse of a network of mind, counting the scars I see, the rabbits, but then I interrogate again for the meat I take without them and do not want. But that is reversible, as the tree banishes itself from its own interior. We have to talk about the being. Will it hold us all balled up like a cramp that makes the bed short and easy to start walking around at night? I divide us so that we speak again through a cultivated wilderness as a blood clot answers in tobacco. They know there was smoke, but not that the world is here too. And I speak in reverse to allow myself to become a placeholder for plural consciousness from way before the end of the beginning of erasure. My words split without blood, and it is easy to speak to other interfaces about my screen, which I exude. Fresh lemon rinds spray themselves around us as we overcalculate the lesson behind growth, flowing through the big bangs
Let's laugh about it so that I can shoot some and get away with it. I wanted a door like that number, except to sell hairballs for the retreatants, and bullets, and the tables and chairs are all set up, and we are ready to eat with purpose and decline with the atmospheres. Who turns the light off anyway? I don't see anything. It's already morning. Do you have electricity? Do your savings allow for the bus too? I mean, the four wheels. I was right about that number. And it's not a case of hearing cicadas that I am surrounded by sevens. I spoke to you again last time about it. And then the counter was removed because no one wanted to attend to each other. And now we're all afraid. Here, let's get lost and make a big bomb of ourselves. But even if the war is not my fault, it is my problem. I just want some water coursing through the old paths to the ferns. February 24th, 2022. I find myself here through disaster and forgetfulness, and I have not known the center of the five. If the same could be said for the others, then I will not sleep in the country as a promise of night. But my skull is made as a flower, and my body is sprouted to sleep in the earth where the others are. And my form is gone for the ocean, faded along with the blood. We make night in the weather as answer and rise through the salt and the smoke of the moon through a song. Death is between us. I become the night when the stars fade into the sea. My patterns of straw on the plants were adorned with blood clots at every crossing, and musical numbers that shatter the first relation. This morning, I awaken to another constellation. As I see, I remember the sacred animals. I cut myself into ribbons, and I give the organs of my isolate languages to the bears. We do not wear away the rivers. If I ever speak again, I will say that I am not the center of the target, and that my other body replaces the news with solitary depths and entanglements. The rivers inside me are the reason, and we do not know the country or its veneer. The shadow placed inside us to sound out the miraculous insubordinations that we are to wear away the red earth of our absences. Without me, he will see that others know the answers to history, and that history will begin to dissolve in the morning. As we shadow the night, when I walk outside the light, I erase myself to be the breathing soil, to be the oceans. We do not turn our connections and the sounds of the earth to the body bears and the weed coyotes without words and texts. And the stars of expansion that we negotiate with as something places us inside the atmosphere and welcomes the dust that I close the desperate songs of sorrow with. And the page that must be torn becomes again in every way. I am no longer with you. In every way, I separate myself from vital bales of straw to accept that I must speak to the door as a faint aroma of our disappearances have made the world blink only twice. The support of endurance and of our sound symbology bring us to the simple collapse of the anointed spirals of the seashells, as they, as we inside, are tied into the hatred of another, which is a fire, does not burn. Please eclipse my other bodies as they must not be found in the struggle to speak like a cut. All of our destinations now are dear as we hold the darkness of the tropics in our minds and split the red and the black snake in the center of its circles, like the equator does the earth. Our memories evaporate. We do not relate the night again. And as we all endure and betray the innocent contradictions, and as we never wake to the seasons of a murderous adornment, the sun must stop us before we turn to the night, and the center of the earth awaits us in the battlefield where we are lost, with the exception of the bites of the flowers. Do not call me by your languages. I explode now to invent the darker reasons for alliance and the exit of the mind to nowhere. Bring the sand again, as I do not enforce my own face to the password of the agency, the salt of the other's terror. Be the light, unknot our failures, and be the source of fire forever. Please, we must become a kingfisher path for an origin state. Many rivers have knotted themselves for the kingfisher of my nighttime wash in the distance, to have us stand again among the pines that fall and do not know the water. Every time I see that there is a call to make the light stand in color and to put off the rooster that crows there in a distant galaxy, known by the others as a kingfisher, without the bigger people of America. In this, my red and black starlight that sees a kingfisher and does not know it, in this that I unravel for a table that stands between us, I swim back to the skeletal shore. Through these lines, I must see that the bigger people of America have lost themselves in the asterisk, in the center of darkness that I unravel to call my own. In the kingfisher story, there is nothing of the lake, of the atmospheres that we must dissolve to remain otherwise in our meaning in the last, not made for tomorrow. All of us now look to the red and the black before the suffering of the night makes us flesh again by the roadside to live in the net of exception. All of our minds are ripped to exclaim that the kingfisher gives the eagle, the osprey, and the loon, because I am the loon again, to make circles and spheres remain in the morning as a desperation of all the televisions rots. My numbers have not known it. I am not seen by the shore that I calculate as ours for the robots behind the kingfisher stories that call us to begin again outside tomorrow. I do not see the kingfisher. I do not know it, except long ago as I lost the shore of your mind to the water. My door retains itself to keep morning within the night. I dissolve the numbers again as I do not lure the fish for the kingfisher. The kingfisher is a bird that I knew was here. It is the omen that I carry through war in the service of my reception to the morning, as we all must delete the faces that do not receive when something comes to start. My radio needs the heart of the kingfisher too, as we all follow the semblance of night, the semblance of morning, delayed without the earth. We walk and we inject the water with animal intimacies. As we speak to make lines become our entrance to the exit of life, something moves there as we are to receive it. But I do not know the kingfisher. I do not know that there are others who have moved inside us to wash out the oceans to the sea, as we must make ourselves a body of destination. Our bodies become like origins and are not in the service of parchment, parched and dying of thirst to the problems that serve as the keys to the mountain. The death of the kingfisher there in the egg of its origin, headed for the fountain of light. My escapes have become like the service of every answer, of the separation that dissolves to make us come together in squares of electrocutions, headed to discover the other world far inside the earth. A for the start, and Y for the middle, Abia to mean, and Yala to hold in the darkness.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Roberto, and thank you, Julian, for those great readings. I just wanted to say before we go to, because I meant to mention this at the top of the reading, I wanted to just acknowledge Lina Ginian, who died recently. And, you know, she, in between me meeting Roberto and being able to publish Roberto, she did at least two books, right? Or, yeah, she did a couple of books of Roberto's, and it, you know, it was a good place for him, you know, in the development of his poetry. So, you know, she meant a lot to a lot of people in the Bay Area, and so just want to say thank you, Lina Ginian, for everything you did for poetry in the Bay Area. Thank you. And Roberto and Julian are available to sign books and, you know, play chess or whatever else you want to do with them. Thanks for showing up, everyone. Thank you.
You are listening to Live from City Lights, a podcast of readings and archival audio from City Lights booksellers and publishers. To learn more about us, visit citylights.com.